Oh, how you doing? It's Zach Cassidy.
MH100.
Peyton Prince.
Father George.
Adam Henry.
TJ Laramie, and you're listening to Windy City Sports.
Yo, what's good? My name is Jake DeMora, and thank you for downloading or streaming this episode of the Wind City Sports Podcast. Wind City Sports is Windsor's only local sports podcast featuring weekly interviews with athletes and coaches, and much more. You can hear every episode of Wind City Sports on windcitysports.com or listen to the radio version on CJAM 99.1 FM in Windsor and Detroit. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. We'll talk all about that at the end of the show, as we normally do. Today is Thursday, September 18th, 2018, and it is episode 118 of Wind City Sports. This week, we're going to jump back a couple weeks ago. We had Aiden Prince, El Reverso, and Phil Atlas on the show for a Border City Wrestling Roundtable, celebrating 25 years of Border City Wrestling. And this week, we're talking to someone who is pretty key in the organization of Border City Wrestling, not necessarily the organization, but is the promotion of Border City Wrestling. He's made a few appearances at BCW and even in Windsor with other wrestling companies, including Impact Wrestling, formerly known as TNA Wrestling. He's actually the man that was part of the puzzle to starting TNA Wrestling. He is known for his time in WCW and the WWF. It's JEFFJARRETT, Jeff Jarrett, the King of the Mountain, Double J, the Chosen One. Talk to Jeff about, obviously, Border City Wrestling. He's had a monumental wrestling moment in Border City back in 2005, winning the NWA World Heavyweight Championship right here in Windsor, actually in Old Castle at the Charter Club. We talk about the prestige of Border City Wrestling and some of its superstars. From and around Ontario and the surrounding area. Just talks about his career and talks about the upcoming NWA 70th anniversary, which is actually this Saturday. All kind of ties into play as, you know, he had won the NWA championship in Windsor and he's going to be competing at their 70th anniversary event on Saturday. So we're going to get into that interview with Double J in just a few moments, but first we have to take a brief minute to talk about our Windsor Lancers Athletes of the Week via GoLancers.ca. This week from our men's hockey team is goaltender Jonathan Reinhart, and from the cross-country team, Rachel Crawley. Rachel led the Lancers with a 28th place finish at the Marauder Bayfront Open in Hamilton, setting a new PB over 8 kilometers with a time of 31 minutes and 25 seconds. Meanwhile, John Reinhart backstopped the men's hockey team to a shutout win in Thunder Bay. John's performance led the team to its third consecutive win in OUA action as they sit atop of the Western Conference. He made 39 saves in that game, and a little bit more on them later on in the show. But congratulations to John and Carly on becoming our Windsor Lancers Athletes of the Week for this week. But now, without further ado, it's time to get into our interview with wrestling legend Jeff Jarrett. So don't go anywhere. Here we go.
To get started, obviously, we know who you are. Jeff Jarrett, you know, former TNA, NWA champion, WWE, the King of the Mountain. So we've seen you here in Windsor a couple times. I know you have a good working relationship with my cousin, actually. I wanted to mention that Scott DeMore is my cousin. And I want to know how you first met him. How did you guys first get introduced?
Wow. Drake, your last name was a dead giveaway accompanied by Windsor. So
yeah.
If you guys weren't related, I was really going to think something was up. But no, wow, me and Scott go way, way back. And in the early days of TNA, it was, man, in the very early days, it was, you know, we were a startup company with obviously, you know, limited funds, limited financing, just getting things off the ground. And I was looking for an assistant slash agent slash producer sort of slash guy that had the potential, you know, to grow with the product, to grow with the brand, to grow with the organization. And a couple of different roads led to me to Scott's name, and we gave it a go. He could probably recall the story better than I can. Man, there was so much going on that time, but, you know, it's pretty obvious how things worked out. We worked together for a lot of years, you know, I don't say off and on, but, you know, there were there were breaks in there where he went back home. I know with his father's situation and just life happened at different times throughout this business. Things naturally progress. I've always had a really, really good working relationship with Scott, and it goes back, like I said, to the very earliest days of TNA, and man, those were some fun times. I remember finally back in the asylum, ironically, where I'm headed for the NWA 70th anniversary show on the 21st of October, right around the corner. Me and Scott and a bunch of crazies in the asylum in the early days of TNA are my earliest memories of me and Scott working together.
That's pretty cool. Like you said, you guys have done so much together, doing your thing out in Florida, TNA, did the stuff in Japan. Even a little things here that we'll maybe touch upon after, but what mostly reminds me of Jeff Jarrett in Windsor is back probably 12, 13 years ago, we had a Border City wrestling show here, that being our big promotion. I just had their 25th anniversary on the weekend. So do you remember how that kind of came to be, that international incident event?
You know, history, you're asking me to recall quite a bit, but no, I do remember that we came up and it was America's Most Wanted and Raven was the champion, and there were a lot of situations going on, not just with the in-ring product but outside as well, and we were headed into the Spike days, and as always, specifically in the early days, the roster continued to evolve. It was obviously Scott working side by side. The opportunity was there. A fortunate situation. And we came up and it was filmed. And I just saw my man Drumboy not long ago over in Toronto. And we recalled a few things. But, no, there was, Windsor, like you said, that was my first time. I've been up there a couple of times since. Back in the mid-90s, the WWF days, we toured Southern Ontario quite a bit. So crossing the border in Detroit and the land of Canadian wrestling way back in the day. But no, the international incident, I remember it fondly. On our wonderful world of Twitter and social media, people every year when the date comes around, people like to recall that, have the clip, and it makes for some fun memories.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty unique at the time, right, to kind of have all your guys at a indie show here in Windsor, right?
Yeah, without question. And, that's how the business has evolved. Mm-hmm. If you look at All In, an independent show with seven or eight different promotions, guys that you call their home promotions, from Joey Janela to the Bucks to Cody, and New Japan obviously was front and center on that promotion. But, yeah, there was gas from multiple different promotions. That's sort of what we have coming up at the NWA 70th anniversary show. Guys that, their home promotions are around the globe.
Absolutely. That's kind of the whole of NWA as it, kind of used to be, right? But if the listeners aren't familiar, just kind of going back to international incident there, you actually captured the NWA World Heavyweight Championship from Raven at the Chicharro Club here in Windsor. What do you remember about like that moment in the aftermath of that, like the title changing hands at an indie show, not televised, filmed, like you said, here in Canada?
There was a lot of, as it was rolling out, historical significance, the belt changing hands in Canada. It was, like you just said, it was a non-televised live event. Sort of the circumstances with the NWA during that era of the Alliance and that brand, and then it goes without saying, probably front center is where the TNA brand was being positioned moving forward from the days of Asylum, and then obviously headed to Orlando and everything that that was going on there. It was we were headed toward monthly pay-per-views. We were headed toward Spike television. There were so many different things that we were, it came out of Orlando. I guess just the evolution of the brand. But, we had done Fox Sports down there, and we were transitioning that summer, headed to Spike. So it was a part, you know, somewhat of a milestone in the growth of the brand.
Yeah, for sure. So I actually have a story about that night. I've always wanted to tell it here on the show, and no better person to tell it than you, because it actually involves yourself. I was a young kid at the time. I was probably like 12 years old, and we actually met you that night. So normally my dad used to bring me and my brother to all of these Border City events. And for whatever reason, this is the one that he couldn't make. So I know you know Scott's mom, Pat, pretty well.
Oh, yeah.
So my mom had brought us to the event, and she goes to all the BCW shows, you know that. And so we're talking to her before the show. We're kind of hanging out by the stage. And Scott came out through the, they just had the black curtains at the time, you know, nothing fancy like they have now. And that wasn't normal either. So normally we would like never see Scott, never talk to him or anything. And he came out and he didn't really say much. He said hi. And then he said, come back with me. I want to show you guys something. So we're like, okay, whatever you say. So we go back there and brings us through the Chicharro Club and brings us in this room. And then you're in there and you're just like bringing out the guitar, or putting the guitar down. And you look up, you're like, hey guys, what's going on? So you're like, hey, you know, you want to see the guitar, meet us. There's a picture of us somewhere with Pat and me and my brother. I was trying to find it, but you know, so at the time I was like 11, 12 years old, and for me, wrestling wasn't so cool anymore, you know? So I left that room thinking, okay, you changed my mind. I like Jeff Jarrett now. This is cool, you know? So I wasn't really watching wrestling. So you come out from the main event against Raven, and I'm like, oh, here he comes. So I run up there trying to get a high five from you or whatever, and everyone just starts berating you, booing you. And you know how the crowds were in Windsor at the time there. And that's what I just kind of realized to me, like, oh, he's a bad guy. And I didn't know because I'm not watching it. I don't know what's going on. But I had thought that we were like, you know, you're going to be like, oh, hey, buddy, there you are. so that's, I always think about that moment when I see that international incident stuff. And I just remember thinking, like, oh, it's so dumb. So that was just a little funny story.
Yeah, well, you know, Drake, that you know, in a microcosm, that's sort of the essence of our business is,
exactly,
creating
yeah.
memories. You know, it is for the lack of a better word, is that, you know, you were not engaged in the product, you became engaged in the product.
Exactly.
And then, you know, the interaction that professional wrestling presents itself is exactly what I believe it fundamentally draws everyone to our industry. And you know, my family with three generations, there's a lot of love and passion that I have for the business for multiple reasons. But at the end of the day, as a young kid, I was engaged in it with, you know, Jackie Fargo and Jerry Lawler and different talents. But it's that, you know, whether you, you know, like the guy, you got a passion there. Whether you really dislike the guy or you like him for some reason, to dislike him, but it's that fan engagement. The real core of it, and that's really what the business is fundamentally built on, whether you see it live or whether you see it, you know, on television, and nowadays, the engagement on social media. It's that engagement that sort of draws us to it, that it's like none other, that, you know, obviously we're not true sport, and so athletes, professional athletes, hockey, whatever it may be, basketball, baseball, football, you know, they have a certain type of fan engagement, and then obviously Hollywood actors or television stars, and you know, they may be a role on one sitcom, and a year later they're in a blockbuster action adventure movie, and whatever it may be. And then, you know, singers have that engagement on whatever hit song they got out. Professional wrestling, it's such a more intimate, real engagement with the fan base, and to me, it's what in a lot of ways, while professional wrestling has been around forever, is because of that one-on-one engagement between the fan base and the wrestler.
Absolutely, man. Like, obviously there was time in my life where, you know, like I said, like, it wasn't cool, but it eventually always came back, and I just realized there's no way around it. I love it. I'm, you know, anything can happen. That's the thing with wrestling. It's like anything else. Anything could happen, and you never know when it's going to happen. So that, you know, kind of relates to that also, is like, the title changing hands here in Windsor. No one probably expected that to happen. Was there any like thought process behind that? Like you said, like, you were going into the pay-per-view, so it was like kind of get some eyes on us to show like anything could happen at our shows and it could be unique, like something like that.
Yeah, you know, I don't remember exactly all the recall. Yeah. I just know the transition as title If I remember correctly, it was going into the spike days, the positioning, we were where we were headed, the contractual situation on how things were going to go about, the roster was being lined up. There's some fundamentals on creative that are always ever evolving, but obviously at the time there was decisions to be made to get champions in place, and I don't recall where AMW fit, but in those days obviously they were in the very very top of the tag title situation, and me and Raven were as well in the singles situation. So we were positioning ourselves, if I remember correctly, to head into the spike day.
That makes a lot of sense. And like I said, you were working with Scott at the time, and I'm sure he pitched his promotion down here in Windsor as a good spot to do it. Even today, they're still running great events, but at the time, they were so hot with the crowds that they were having there and stuff. So like you said, you had been there. That was probably your first time. They had a couple of TNA Impact shows here, and you even did the Global Force Wrestling tryouts here a few years back. So would you say that Windsor is a good spot for wrestling?
Oh, without question. Like I said, Southern Ontario, home of EY, my man Eric Young. But no, I mean, there's Ontario as a whole, but certainly there's just been wrestling, over the years. And yes, Windsor, without question. Obviously, it's a border town, so you get the ability to draw from Detroit as well. So, yeah, it's always, as long as I've been aware of the Windsor scene, it's always been a fantastic wrestling town.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure you still have a lot of connections around here, too. If you recall, you came back to Border City a few years ago at one of their St. Clair College shows. They do these big, extravagant shows, all the lighting and stage and video and all that stuff, completely different to what they used to have. At the time, you teamed with Tyson Dukes, and then after you came out and said some cool words about Cody Deaner. So I'm sure you're keeping in touch with a lot of guys here in Southern Ontario.
Oh, without question. I think Cody Deaner to this day, I would have to put him on the very top list. But yes, he had his run and very engaging and entertaining in TNA there for a while. But I put him at the very top of the list of the guys that are as well-rounded of a professional wrestler as there is. And he can play both sides of the fence. He knows what he's doing. In and out of the ring. When I say out of the ring, he knows how to carry himself. He knows how to market himself. He's a businessman, a great human being to boot, and he's somebody that, I'm proud to say that I am friends and been for quite some time with Cody Dean.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. I see he does all the personal speaking. He's really, he seems like a very smart guy. And that's the kind of guy that kind of grew on me at first. I didn't know what to think of him, but he's just been around so much. And like you said, the crowd engaging with him, the fans engaging with him. What really got me was when you guys did those tryouts here at the WFCU Center. You guys had like a little section in the arena with a ring and a little crowd watching. And he went into the crowd and fist bumped every single kid. And I thought, no matter if I don't like this guy, these kids love him. And there's obviously a reason that kind of translates to what you were saying earlier.
Sure, exactly.
Yeah. So, speaking of the connections you might have here, you've been in the wrestling world for over 30 years, all over North America, Japan. Now you're doing your thing in Mexico, if I'm not mistaken. You're still out there in AAA. So I'm sure every country is a little different approach to wrestling, but is there any of them that might be your favorite? Do you prefer a certain style or advantage, anything like that?
No, I've always liked the diversity because, even in my earliest days, I would go down and wrestle in Puerto Rico, and a Puerto Rican crowd is different from a Texan crowd, different from a Japanese crowd. So every area, I believe, of the world has a different style. I was just in Germany recently, and they have their matches in rounds, and that's a whole different set of circumstances. As you mentioned, I wrestled in Mexico. And I have for the last 15 years, a different style down there. So I like the diversity of it, and I think it makes our industry healthy. And even back in the Attitude Era days, WWF was a completely different product than a WCW product. So every promotion sort of has their own flavor and style, and I think the variety is
Absolutely, man. Just having all those different options, really, for wrestlers and anyone in the business, right? It's being able to go over all over the world and own their craft. But kind of cool that you brought up the Attitude Era. Just for myself, that's kind of where I had been introduced to Jeff Jarrett. You know, a huge group of fans were introduced to wrestling at that time. And I'm sure that's when they first seen you, you know, tagging with Owen Hart and doing your stuff down there.
Yep, it was a very successful era. And, you know, going back on, obviously, each era has its own personality, whether it's the syndicated television of the territory days in the 80s and to, you know, the Attitude Era of the Monday Night Wars. And now, you know, we're fully engaged in the, we'll call it the digital age, with the WWE Network and Fight, who I've got a partnership with. And you know, just the business continues to evolve, and that's a wonderful thing.
Absolutely, man. Like, I feel like everyone, when they grow up watching it, that's like the best era to them. You know what I mean? So for me, being a millennial, I guess you could say, 25 years old, growing up watching the Attitude Era, that was like the best for me. But just like you said, it's evolved so much throughout the years. And now you're doing so much still in the wrestling business, like I said, in Mexico. And you had mentioned NWA's 70th anniversary is coming up. So you got that stuff going on. Is there anything else you want to get across?
No, I appreciate you having me on today. You know, you mentioned it, October 21st, local time, 6:05 start time, exclusively on Fight. So all the fans in your listening area and your podcast listeners, that Sunday, October 21st, 6:05, the NWA 70th anniversary, and as luck would have it, you know, it's in Nashville at the Fairgrounds Arena, the officially known as the Asylum. But the rematch of 2018, I truly believe it's the biggest rematch that we're going to have in this calendar year. And for us to get the opportunity to promote it, it's pretty cool. Cody is going to be taking on. Cody the champion. Nick Aldis the challenger for the NWA title. Coming off the heels of All In, it is truly lined up to be a memorable night, and all the legends are going to be there. Dory Funk, the list goes on and on. J.J. Dillon, a new national title crown, the women's titles on the line. Man, there's just a lot that's going into this show, and I'm super excited for it.
All right, man. Thank you so much again for taking the time to do this. And
yeah, I appreciate it, Drake.
Okay, and there you have it. Double J, Jeff Jarrett. It's cool to talk to him, obviously, and no matter how much time we had to speak, obviously I wanted to talk about some Windsor things, some Border City Wrestling things, and that's one topic, one event that always gets brought back up, especially with Border City and the prestige of wrestling in Windsor. So what better to hear from the man himself, the man that won the NWA Championship right here in Windsor, the longest running wrestling organization, as Jeff mentioned, having their 70th anniversary this Saturday. Obviously, is quite the milestone for BCW to have their 25th a few weeks back, but looking at 70 years of NWA, so many huge superstars have come in and out of NWA, and it's really evolved. It's obviously, it was a lot different back in the day if you're familiar with the territory system, but something that actually Jeff's dad was a big influencer, big part of. Jerry Jarrett and all his wrestling family comes from a long line of wrestling. So, of course, it's cool to hear some Windsor connections, if you ask me, and I hope you guys enjoyed that interview. I wish I could have got a couple more minutes with him, but, of course, it's just cool to talk to someone like the former Intercontinental Champion, former NWA Champion, Double J, Jeff Jarrett. But now it's that time of the week of the show that we break down some local sports news. I'm going to talk about our Windsor Spitfires to kick things off. The Spits went 1-2 in 3 games this weekend during their road tour through Ottawa, Peterborough, and Kingston. They ended things off with a 5-2 win over the Frontenacs on Sunday and are currently playing right now at the WFCU Center at the time that this podcast drops. They're taking on the Barrie Colts. Next up, they are on the road tomorrow, actually in Niagara, and then Sunday in Erie. They return home next Thursday at 7 p.m. for a game against the Sioux. Got a lot of news in regards to our Windsor Lancers. The University of Windsor Lancers men's hockey team remained unbeaten in OUA play,
as we talked about at the beginning of the show with our Lancers Athletes of the Week. Their game with Michigan that I was talking about last week isn't considered OUA sanctioned, so technically undefeated in OUA play here in Ontario, after a 4-0 win in Thunder Bay on Saturday against the Lakehead Thunderwolves. Kyle Hope had two goals for the Lancers, while Brennan Feezy and Ethan Skinner added singles. One of our Lancers Athletes of the Week, goalie John Reinhart, made 39 saves against the Thunderwolves to pick up his first shutout of the season. They have a doubleheader tomorrow and Saturday in Quebec, taking on the UQTR Patriots. The women's hockey team is playing at home at South Windsor Arena tomorrow and Saturday, taking on the Ridgebacks tomorrow. Tomorrow night at a 7 p.m. game, and then on Saturday afternoon they'll be taking on Queens at 1 p.m. The Lancers women's basketball team is looking to pick up a win in Waterloo on Saturday. They'll be taking on the Warriors at 6 p.m. and they're coming off two losses after going 1-2 over the weekend in the Dalhousie tournament in Halifax. The men's basketball team will also be in Waterloo on Saturday, taking on the Warriors at 8 p.m. The men are coming off a loss to the UBC Thunderwolves out in British Columbia. They fell that game 91-78. But be sure to check out our interview with Lucas Orlita, one of the vets of the team, on WinCitySports.com. More on that later on in the show, though, of course. The football team lost a close game to Laurier, 39-24 on Saturday in Waterloo, their final game of the season. It's going to be this Saturday, actually, at 1 p.m. at Alumni Field in Windsor, and can be seen on your TV, formerly known as Cogeco Cable 11. The Lancers are currently 1-6. And the men's and women's soccer teams are set for their last two games of the regular season this weekend. The women take on York University on Friday and Guelph on Sunday at Alumni Field, and the men take on the same opponents on the same days. See golancers.ca for full details on all games aforementioned. Now we're going to begin to wrap up this podcast really soon, but I just want to take a quick moment to talk about CJAM FM here in Windsor, Ontario, and their upcoming pledge drive. It actually kicks off tomorrow, Friday, October 19th, and it's going to be running for a whole week until next Friday, October the 26th. This is the one time a year, every year, that CJAM reaches out to the public to donate towards our cause, which is basically to keep us alive and keep doing what we do to bring you shows like Wind City Sports on CJAM, all of our other spoken word programs, and music-based programs. Your donation will go towards the studio upgrades, the station upgrades, getting new music, getting new equipment like CD players and microphones and all the broadcast equipment needed to keep this place running. So this is the one time of year that we're going to be reaching out to all of our listeners and asking for you to donate any portion of money that you could possibly spare. And if it's just a dollar, that all will make a big difference. So we're going to be seeing a lot of that on social media and hearing that on the show. And we're also going to be hearing it a lot next week. We're still going to have a podcast version for you here on SoundCloud, iTunes, wherever you're found, on WinCitySports.com. But we're going to do a live radio version with an exclusive interview with a former CJAM personality who has gone on to do big things. I'm going to leave it a secret for now. We're also going to be taking pledges and hearing some music. It's going to be an hour-long episode of Wind City Sports on the radio, and then our podcast version will be released at normal time. At 9 o'clock, we're going to release the podcast following the radio version. So please see cgm.ca or wincitysports.com. Check us out on social media. I'll talk about that in a second, too. To get more information on CJAM and why you should donate, you get incentives, obviously, for donating. Get a shirt. You can get stickers, pins, actually some music, a music bundle. You get to choose some CDs of your choice. And depending on your donation, you get to choose from these prizes. And you can also pick up the new 35 years of CJAM documentary, which features a lengthy history. I'm looking forward to seeing it myself. I actually haven't seen it yet, but talks to people that were on CJAM that have gone on to do big things, including our guest next week. And it seems very cool. So if you're a fan of CJAM, you'd love that, of course. But and if you're a fan of CJAM, hopefully it'll keep us going. But if you're a fan of Wind City Sports, then I don't know why, but thank you so much, and I hope that you would donate towards our cause to keep the radio version going and keep that station going. It's been running for 35 years, so they're celebrating with the documentary. But that's going to be all for this week on the Wind City Sports Podcast. My name is Drake DeMora. I'm here, your host, every single week. New episodes of Wind City Sports drop every Thursday live on CJAM FM 99.1 in Windsor and Detroit. Replays of the radio show air on Fridays at 4:30 p.m. and then at 8:30 p.m. on Thursday following the debut of the radio episode. The podcast drops here on WindCitySports.com and wherever podcasts are found, including iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and the list goes on and on. We also have a YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram page, so search up Wind City Sports and you should easily be able to find us. Give us a like, subscribe, or follow, whatever it may be. We'll be back here on the podcast and on the radio show, same time, same place. So until then, smell you later.